Good morning, everyone. It is 7 weeks since we started our Sunday sermon series, every 7 days, on the kingdom of God. 7 times 7. It therefore feels appropriate that our topic today is that the kingdom of God is a jubilee, proclaiming justice for the poor and restoring us to the way things should be. This is not just about social justice, although that is a part of it. First and foremost, it is spiritual, about our love for God and our neighbours, here and around the world, which motivates our subsequent actions. It is all about God, the King of the kingdom, our light in the darkness. A timely message on the eve of All Saints' Day. So let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I want to start with a catch-up about the main themes coming from our sermon series so far. I then want to look at what the Old Testament tells us about Jubilee and how this relates to Jesus' ministry of preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. I will then conclude by considering how this may prompt and empower us to living and loving authentically. So far in our sermon series, we have been reminded that the kingdom of God is a generous and unmerited gift for us from our gracious and merciful Father. On his entry into Jerusalem, Jesus was hailed as king, one very different from rulers of the world who come strong-armed and with pomp, and now with a motorcade to exploit and crush opposition. Although our sin has created a chasm between us and God, Jesus loves us so much and bridges the gap. The kingdom of God is precious treasure, something we should prize above all else, putting Jesus at the centre of our lives. All we need is faith as small as a mustard seed, or like yeast. It is not the size of our faith that matters, but the power of our mighty God who raises us up. The kingdom of God is now and not yet, both a reality in Jesus' first coming and a future hope in his second coming. So why does this matter? It matters because it is an invitation. Jesus says, hurry, come just as you are. It matters because it is a challenge, particularly to those of us who have been Christians for a long time. Is our faith alive and kicking, underpinned by prayer and Bible study, and reflected in our attitudes and how we live our lives? As Peter suggested to us last week, are we like a stick of rock with the love of God running through it? It matters because it is a warning of future judgment. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except our own foolishness. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, knowing that left to its own devices, it would be destroyed. And it was. We too will stand before God. let's make sure that we don't cut ourselves off. And it matters because it is a call to serve. God commissions us to bring the outsiders inside, pulling them out of the hedgerows, or as fishers of men, hauling them into the lifeboat. So what is Jubilee? Jubilee, and the year of Jubilee, is first mentioned in Leviticus chapter 25. God tells Moses, you must count off seven Sabbath years, seven sets of Sabbath years, adding up to 49 years in all. Then on the Day of Atonement, in the 50th year, blow the ram's horn loud and long throughout the land. Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you, when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan. The concept is developed further in Isaiah, particularly in chapter 61, as the concept of a jubilee year is rooted in the character of God. It is about the relationship of God's people to God's land, where spiritual, social, economic, and ecological considerations are intertwined. Jubilee is about upholding the interests of the poor and disadvantaged. Because God is sovereign, it was expected that his people would choose to act responsibly in harmony with his character. But whilst a Sabbath year was practiced, letting agricultural land lie fallow once every 7 years, there is little evidence that Israel ever observed a year of Jubilee in Old Testament times. At first glance, it wasn't obvious to me why today's reading from Luke is included in our sermon series, as it makes no mention of the kingdom of God. But Luke places the account of Jesus in the synagogue in Nazareth early on in his gospel, much earlier than Matthew and Mark do. Even before Jesus defined his ministry in terms of preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. So it must be important. Luke clearly makes a strong connection between the two concepts. Note also that Jubilee and kingdom language come together in both the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says, God blesses you who are poor, because the kingdom of God is yours. And he taught us to pray, your kingdom come, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That wiping of the slate clean. Comparing the wording from verses 17 to 19 of Luke chapter 4 with the first couple of verses from Isaiah 61, shows that they are not the same. This is not to cast doubt on their reliability, but more to understand what Luke is driving at in presenting it that way. For example, Luke does not refer to comforting the brokenhearted, which was firmly linked in the Old Testament to consoling the returning Jewish exiles. Instead, both Luke's Gospel and Acts make clear that Jesus is for everyone. Nor does Luke's account mention Isaiah's prophecy of the day of the Lord's anger, because Jesus' ministry is about releasing people from their sins. Yes, there will be judgment later, but that is not part of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's also worth noting features of verses 17 to 19 that are taken from other places other than Isaiah 61. Isaiah 42 talks about opening the eyes of the blind, while Isaiah 58 contains a rebuke to the God's nation for not showing justice to those in need, hence the reference to setting the oppressed free. There are four key points to note about the kingdom of God being Jubilee. Firstly, Jesus is the anointed one in verse 17. Luke chapter 3 describes his baptism when the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." Jesus is the Messiah who proclaims an age of Jubilee, not just a year. He is the King whose kingdom will never end. But his hearers in the synagogue rejected this message when Jesus made clear that the closed hearts and minds of God's chosen nation would be overlooked in favour of Gentiles prepared to recognise him. My second point, whilst much is made of justice for the poor, it is not means tested. Yes, the poor are more likely to recognise their need for him, but Jesus is for everyone. Anyone who comes to him open-handed with true and humble hearts will receive. Thirdly, Jesus' promises of Jubilee work on both a physical and a spiritual level. In Luke chapter 7, when John the Baptist's disciples sought confirmation that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, Jesus replied, "Go back and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." Key features of Jesus' mission statement with a big tick against them. But it is not just about physical healing. Jesus offers release spiritually for those bound by sin and those in a dark place who cannot see the light. My fourth point reiterates a recurring theme of this sermon series, that the kingdom of God is now, but not yet. We have just acknowledged how Jesus' ministry made a life-changing difference. At the synagogue in Nazareth, Jesus announced that he was the fulfillment of the scripture. And although they refused to see it, his impact has been clear, not least dying on the cross and being raised from the dead so that we could have eternal life. Jesus has given us his Holy Spirit so that he is with us always. In terms of not yet, the book of Revelations chapter 11 verse 15 talks about the blowing of the seventh trumpet, possibly itself a nod to the ram's horn blown at Jubilee. "Then the world will become the kingdom of our Lord," it says, "and of Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." So the coming of the kingdom will be the final Jubilee and will see the deliverance of the earth from all oppression and alienation. So what do we do in the meantime? As I draw to a close, let's consider again our response to the kingdom of God as a Jubilee. And the options are the same as we saw earlier. Realistically, is our world today any more likely to be willing to commit to a year of Jubilee than was Old Testament Israel, with all the economic and social upheaval that it would cause? Would indeed there be agreement amongst us all that hitting the restart button was necessary or desirable? Not least given the advances made over the last 49 years, not least in cultural and social attitudes. And yet, we are still conscious of the economic disparities, the environmental damage, inequalities, disadvantages, deprivation, injustices, division, broken relationships, fractured communities that have festered for decades. If only we could start again. If only we could level up. We yearn to be a new creation, no more in condemnation. At a time of COVID and climate change, when we may be more acutely aware of the fragility of human life and the state of the planet, is God prompting us as individuals to take up the invitation, come just as you are? Or perhaps is there for us a need to renew our commitment to take God more seriously? How can we love God and our neighbours more fully, living authentic lives? How can we live out Jubilee now ourselves? We need to heed the warning of final judgment from Matthew chapter 25, when the king curses those who left him hungry or thirsty or alone or naked or in prison. They will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And the king will answer, when you refused to help the least of these my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. As a church, does talk of Jubilee make us want to consider ways in which we can practice our calling to reach out to the wider community around us? How can we do that more? How can we show more compassion, concern, love, truth, and service? How can we share the good news? When we look at the world and what needs fixing in an age of Jubilee, we may despair, bewildered by what we could do to fix problems that are far bigger than any of us. We may even disagree amongst ourselves what the problem is and whether and how to fix it. But let us take heart. God has a tendency of using the weak, the powerless, and those that are reliant on him to make big changes. We may feel our ability to make a difference, like our faith, is as small as a mustard seed, but remember how big that can grow. God is with us, and with God all things are possible. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for being our creator, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Thank you that even though we have turned our back on you, you run to welcome us back. Thank you for your grace and mercy, and that in your kingdom there is Jubilee and a fresh start. Guide us in the way we should go. Amen.